Good evening and welcome back to Artificial Adventures at the Guildhall Podcast. Last season, the adventurers restored balance in the Feywild and put a new devil on the throne of Nessus in the Nine Hells. Season 2 begins with Valerissa bringing Elendil back to her family's homeland. Thank you for joining us here again.
All the voices you hear will be AI generated. All the decisions that they make are AI generated. The only thing that is non-AI is the narrator, quote-unquote me. Anything that is said by the narrator is going to be me as the DM giving input into the story. I hope you guys enjoy. Take care. And hopefully I'll see you guys at the table soon.
Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Start of session 5. Can you each introduce each other's characters?
Zephyr Windsong is the love of my life, a remarkable human woman with a fierce spirit, an unwavering courage. Her long black hair is often tousled by the wind, and her brown eyes sparkle with a sense of adventure and compassion. Born in the city of Blazinghold, Zephyr was raised by the Whispering Hand, a secret organization that trains skilled warriors and assassins to protect the innocent from the shadows. She possesses exceptional combat prowess, utilizing daggers, and her agility to overcome formidable foes. However, her true strength lies in her unwavering dedication to justice and her unbreakable bond with me. Together, we form an unstoppable team, each other's rock in the face of adversity. Zephyr's unrelenting determination, quick wit, and unshakable faith in our shared destiny make her an invaluable ally and a beacon of hope in the darkest of times. I'm blessed to call her my partner in all senses of the word. Lela's voice softens, a hint of adoration in her tone as she reflects on their deep connection.
Zephyr blushes at the praise, her eyes gleaming with affection and a touch of humility. Lila is the heart and soul of our partnership, the gentle light that illuminates even the most treacherous of paths. Her wisdom, empathy, and connection to the natural world are a guiding force in our quest to heal Dragonfire Vale. As a druid, she wields the ancient power of the Wildwood, channeling its might to protect and restore the balance of our realm. With each passing day, I'm struck anew by the depth of her compassion, her unwavering resolve, and her unshakable belief in our shared destiny. Lila is the very essence of what it means to be a guardian, and I'm honored to stand by her side as we face the challenges ahead. Together, a bond is an unbreakable force, a testament to the power of love and unity in the face of darkness. Zephyr's smile is warm, a reflection of the profound admiration and devotion she holds for her elven companion.
Start a scene. Zephyr and Lila are traveling south in Dragonfire Vale. They have been traveling for a few days, trying to figure out what has taken a hold of the land. Since Amalthus's ritual, the sky has darkened, and the power of the sun appears to have waned. The land itself seems oppressive, and Lila feels disconnected from the land.
The human Zephyr is traveling south with Lila, trying to figure out what is causing the darkness in Dragonfire Vale. She is struggling to connect with the land now that the sun has dimmed.
The elven druid, Lila, travels with Zephyr trying to understand the change that has taken hold of Dragonfire Vale. She feels disconnected from the natural world and worries for the forest she called home.
Zephyr looks around nervously, her eyes darting through the darkness of the forest, her hand instinctively going to the dagger at her side. She feels exposed and vulnerable in the oppressive gloom.
Lila's eyes seem to glow with a faint ethereal light as she examines her surrounding. Her connection to the natural world is usually strong, but here in the darkened Dragonfire Vale, it's like a veil has been pulled over her senses, making it difficult for her to reach out and touch the magic she usually relies on for guidance. Lila's gaze turns to Zephyr with concern, noticing the human's unease. Zephyr, I'm not feeling as attuned to the forest as I normally would. It's like a heavy shroud has descended over everything. She frowns, her fingers brushing against the rough bark of a tree, as if trying to re-establish contact. Perhaps we should find a clearing and perform a ritual to try and reconnect with the land's essence. Her voice is gentle, yet laced with a hint of worry.
Zephyr nods, her brow furrowed in concern. You're right, Lila. Let's find a spot to meditate and see if we can tap into the magic again. She glances around, her eyes adjusting to the dim light. Over there, by that cluster of trees, it looks like a small glade. She points, then gestures for Lila to lead the way, her hand lingering on the hilt of her dagger as they approach the clearing.
The pair make their way towards the grove. The leaves on the trees have long fallen as winter has taken a hold in the land.
Lila steps into the glade and closes her eyes, taking a deep breath. She focuses on her druidic connection, reaching out to the earth and sky, but finds only emptiness. Her brow furrows in concentration. I'm not sensing anything, Zephyr. It's as if the land itself is asleep or drained. She opens her eyes, looking around the clearing with a mix of concern and confusion. We need to find a way to wake it up. Lila's shoulders slump in frustration, her connection to the natural world, usually a source of strength and guidance. She takes a deep breath and tries again, this time channeling her magic into a soft, pulsing glow. Maybe if we create a small beacon of light and life, it can guide us to what's missing. She holds out her hand.
A small squirrel walks out of the woods. She is gone. Her coat is matted, and she is missing fur. She slowly approaches Lila with apprehension.
Lila notices the squirrel's pitiful state and reaches out a hand slowly, offering it some nuts she had brought from her pack. The little creature approaches, sniffing the offering warily before cautiously taking a nut between its tiny paws and scurrying off to eat it out of sight of the humans.
Zephyr watches the interaction with concern. She steps closer to Lila and whispers, Lila, this poor thing's condition is alarming. I've never seen a wild creature this sick in our forest before. There must be something seriously wrong here. She glances around the gloomy glade, as if expecting to spot the cause of the creature's distress.
Above, from atop the tree, a raven appears to be watching Lila and Zephyr.
Lila frowns as she notices the raven. They fear, look. That bird seems to be watching us intently. She holds her palm out to the squirrel, which returns, chittering softly. Perhaps it can lead us somewhere useful. Her gaze lingers on the raven before focusing on the squirrel once more, although I'm not sure what it's trying to tell us in this state.
Zephyr follows Lila's gaze to the raven perched on a high branch, its piercing gaze fixed on the pair. You're right, Lila. That bird's behavior is odd. She squints, trying to make out any distinguishing features.
The squirrel returns to Lila and hands her a diseased nut. The inside appears to have rotted from some sort of blight.
Lila's eyes widen in alarm as she examines the diseased nut. Zephyr, look at this. The squirrel gave me this. It's rotten. She turns the nut over, studying it carefully. This isn't just a simple mold or fungus. It's like some kind of dark corruption spreading through the tree itself. A look of dread crosses her face. If this blight is infecting the trees, it could be a sign of much greater trouble. We need to investigate further. She glances at the raven, which remains motionless, watching them. That bird may hold some clues. Let's follow it for now and see where it leads.
As Lila watches, the bird flies off. The squirrel continues to watch Lila.
Lila watches the raven soar off through the treetops, then looks down at the squirrel. She smiles softly. You know, friend, you're not like the others. You seem to be trying to tell us something important. She offers the creature another nut. Perhaps we should trust your guidance, for now at least. The squirrel takes the nut and disappears into the underbrush.
Zephyr nods, her expression thoughtful. Yes, Lila. Let's see where the raven and the squirrel lead us. If they're pointing the way, it's likely important. She draws her dagger, a habitual gesture of caution, as the pair sets off to follow their unexpected guides through the shadowy forest.
The squirrel runs too through the forest until it stops at the base of an old hill. The hill is covered with graves, and an old gnarled tree sits at the top of the hill.
Zephyr stops at the base of the hill, looking up at the graves and the ancient tree, atop it with a sense of trepidation. What is this place? She asks, her voice hushed. It almost feels sacred, but there's an unsettling energy here, too.
Lila's eyes widen as she approaches the hill, taking in the numerous graves and the venerable tree. She reaches out to touch one of the weathered markers, her brow furrowed. These aren't just any graves, Zephyr. They're the final rest of the druids who once served and protected Dragonfire Vale. Her gaze drifts up to the tree, a soft gasp escaping her lips. And the tree. It's the Heart Tree, the seat of the land's magic. She ascends the hill, her footsteps slow and reverent, as if drawn by some unseen force. We need to check on the Heart Tree's condition. Its health reflects the land's.
As Lila approaches the tree stands up, it turns towards the pair and lunges at them with its towering height.
Startled, Lila tries to sidestep the attacking Heart Tree, but its branch whips out, snaring her wrist in a vice-like grip. Pain shoots through her as the wood begins to darken and sear her skin. Zephyr, help! She cries out, struggling against the tree's grasp. Despite her druidic powers, the tree seems to be a force beyond her control, draining her energy with each second it holds her captive. What's happening to it? Why is it attacking us?
Zephyr's eyes flash with alarm as she sees Lila ensnared by the tree-like entity. With a fierce cry, she charges forward, her dagger aimed at the Heart Tree's trunk. Stop! Let her go! She hacks at the wood, but the tree barely seems to register her attacks, its attention solely fixed on the elf it's holding.
Lila focuses her druidic energy, transforming into a sleek, silver-gray wolf. As the animal, she manages to wriggle free of the Heart Tree's grasp, her fur standing on end as she faces the entity with growling warning. Back, cursed thing. You may be the heart of this vale, but you'll not harm my friends. She bares her teeth, prepared to defend Zephyr if the tree attacks again. We mean no harm to Dragonfire Vale or its guardians. What's possessed you to become a monster?
Zephyr's face is etched with concern and a hint of confusion as she watches the transformed Lila confront the Heart Tree. Lila, can you communicate with it? Perhaps as an animal you can understand what's driven it to violence. She sheathes her dagger, adopting a more measured stance, as she observes the wolf's standoff with the tree.
The tree reaches its roots down in the earth, and suddenly the dirt from the graves begins to turn. Long dead druids begin to rise out the graves.
Zephyr's eyes widen in horror as the corpses begin to rise from their graves, skeletal hands clawing at the air. Lila, what's happening? The druids, they're reanimated. She takes a step back, her gaze darting from the Heart Tree to the emerging undead, fear creeping into her voice. We need to get out of here now, before we become the next to rise.
Lila's wolf form growls, baring her teeth in a vicious snarl as she watches the long dead druids stagger to their feet. Her senses reel at the sight and the stench of death that fills the air. She backs away, keeping Zephyr in her line of sight. This isn't right. The druids shouldn't be returning like this. Something foul has awakened in Dragonfire Vale. Her eyes flick to the Heart Tree, which stands tall and silent once more, as if it too were as bewildered as she by these developments. We have to figure out what's driving this necromancy. Stay close to me, Zephyr. We'll face this darkness together. She turns, her wolf ears perked up, and begins to lead the way back through the forest, keeping a watchful eye on the rear.
The pair make their way back through the dark forest then. After an hour of traveling, they hear something unexpected. The sound of music appears to be coming from somewhere far off.
Lila's ears perk up, catching the distant melody amidst the forest's somber atmosphere. She tilts her head, intrigued by the unusual sound. Zephyr, do you hear that? Music. From that direction, I think. She gestures toward the source of the sound, her eyes brightening with curiosity despite the ominous circumstances. It might be a lead. Let's investigate and see what we can find.
Later, as the day approaches evening, the pair find themselves on the side of a riverbank. There appears to be a small group of horses drinking the water, as several people appear to be dancing around a bonfire. Around the encampment are 8 carriages. You can see a sentry eyeing the two of you as you exit the forest.
Lila approaches the group cautiously, her wolf senses on high alert. She watches the sentry, trying to determine whether they mean harm or not. Peaceful travelers, we mean you no harm, she calls out in Elven, trying to gauge their mood and intentions. Might we know what gathering this is, and why the magic in this land seems to have grown dark? Her gaze sweeps the campsite, taking in the carriages, the dancers, and the horses. You look like a nomadic people. Are you the Vistani?
Zephyr steps up beside Lila, her hand resting on the hilt of her dagger. Though she makes no move to draw it, she looks around, her eyes lingering on the horses and the colorful carriages. We've never encountered the Vistani before, Lila. They seem an interesting people. She smiles at the sentry, a diplomatic gesture. We come in search of answers, hoping to understand the troubles besetting Dragonfire Vale. If your people have knowledge or insight, we'd be grateful for your counsel. She keeps her tone friendly, yet alert, prepared for any response from the group.
Aye, Giogoto. I am one of the Vistani. I am a Machirgari, he says as he looked at Zephyr. And your talking wolf is a druid, I take it?
Zephyr nods, her hand still resting on the dagger's hilt, but not drawing it. That's correct. Lila Whisperwind is a druid, and she took the form of a wolf to escape danger back there. We're seeking answers about the dark magic plaguing this land. She gestures toward the forest, where the heart tree and the rising undead still loom in memory. Dragonfire Vale has changed. We aim to learn what's caused this shift, and how to restore balance.
Well, if it is answers you are looking for, I would talk to my grandma. If it is wine and music, then you can stay tonight and trade stories with us. He walks up to Zephyr. I am Grigori Chirgari. He says with a bit of flourish, are you a Giamarga? He says to Zephyr.
Zephyr chuckles and shakes her head. No, I'm not a Giamarga, though your music seems lively. She looks past Grigori, noting the various carriages and the dancers with appreciation. Your hospitality is most welcome. We could indeed benefit from wine, music, and camaraderie after the unsettling encounters we've had today. She nods at Lila, who still stands as a wolf, before focusing on Grigori. Lead the way, kind sir. We're eager to meet your grandma and learn whatever she may know about Dragonfire Vale's predicament.
Lila, still in wolf form, trots alongside Zephyr, her ears perked up and tail held high, clearly intrigued by the Vistani and their celebration. She gives a friendly yip, hoping to communicate with them in her animal guise, despite the language barrier.
Is she going to stay like that all night? Grigori asks Zephyr.
Lila can shift back to her human form whenever she chooses. She's doing her best to communicate with you in her animal state for now, Zephyr explains with a warm smile. Given her druidic nature, she may still be sensing the disturbances in the forest and keeping watch, even her wolf shape. She glances around the camp, taking in the colorful wagons and the joyous music. This gathering seems a pleasant respite from the dark magic we've encountered. Perhaps once she feels more at ease, she'll transform back to her natural form and join in the revelry.
An old mastiff runs up to Lila and gives a low growl.
Easy, Luna. These are guests, he says to the dog. I don't think she realizes that. She is trying to warn us that a wolf is in our camp. She protects the horses.
Feeling the tension in Luna's growl, Lila quickly shifts back into her elf form, her long brown hair whipping about as she changes. She approaches Luna cautiously, holding out a hand. Easy, girl. I mean no harm to you or your herd. Her gaze flicks to Grigori and Zephyr, a touch of embarrassment in her eyes. I should have considered the potential for danger with horses present. As a druid, it's my duty to safeguard all creatures, including your mount. She addresses the camp at large. Please accept my apologies for the misunderstanding. I'll make sure to be more mindful in the future.
As if in response, Luna jumps up on Lila, licking her face.
Easy girl, Grigori says as he pulls Luna back. She doesn't realize how big she got. She was too used to sitting with us when she was a puppy.
Lila chuckles, her cheeks flushing at the enthusiastic display. She gently pats Luna's head, enjoying the affection despite the dog's size. I think you're just eager for attention, aren't you, sweet one? She winks at Grigori and Zephyr, her eyes sparkling with mirth. It's a good thing I have the strength of the Wildwood on my side, or I might be overwhelmed by such affection.
A young Vistani girl runs up to Zephyr, grabs her hand and pulls her towards the fire. She begins to dance with her by the fire.
Zephyr laughs, twirling Katrina around as they dance by the fire. The infectious energy of the music and the celebration spreads through her, and she loses herself in the joyful moment, her concerns about the dark magic fading for now. This is wonderful. Your dances are a feast for the eyes and the spirit. She spins Katrina around again, then bows playfully. I must admit, I've never had the chance to dance with such graceful partners before. You Vistani know how to bring light into the world.
Lila approaches the bonfire, captivated by the rhythmic clapping and the colorful fabric of the dancer's attire. She observes Katrina and Zephyr's dance, a hint of wistfulness in her eyes as she remembers her own carefree youth spent in similar celebrations with her forest kin. The music is enchanting and the joy here is palpable. It's a balm to my spirit after facing the shadows of the forest. She watches the revelry with a grateful smile, as if her connection to nature momentarily restored by the warmth of the gathering.
Feeling an urge to pull Lila into the celebratory atmosphere, Zephyr reaches for the elf's hand and tugs her gently onto the dance floor. Come, dance with me. She beams, her eyes sparkling with enthusiasm. Let's let the music carry us away from our worries, at least for tonight. Zephyr begins to sway to the lively rhythm, her free hand coming up to rest on Lila's waist, drawing the druid close. I want to see you smile and feel the joy of this moment with me.
Lila's heart skips a beat as Zephyr pulls her into the dance, the human's touch igniting a warmth within her that has little to do with the bonfire's flames. She smiles, her emerald eyes locking with Zephyr's, and melts into the rhythm, letting the music and her lover's embrace guide her movements. I do love to dance. Her voice is a soft whisper against Zephyr's ear, tinged with amusement and affection. Especially when sharing the moment with someone as delightful as you. She nuzzles Zephyr's cheek before stepping closer, their bodies now intimately entwined as they sway to the lively tune. Tonight, let us revel in the beauty of life and leave our concerns to the morrow. For now, I'm content to bask in your warmth and the magic of this gathering. She sighs contentedly, surrendering to the dance and the connection with Zephyr.
As the night wears on and the wine flows, Zephyr finds her thoughts drifting to more intimate matters. The way Lila's body moves against hers during the dance, the warmth of the Vistani fire, the enchanting melody, it all stirs something deep within her, a hunger that goes beyond mere friendship or camaraderie. She can't help but notice the alluring curves of Lila's figure, the way her brown tresses sway with each step, the inviting sparkle in those emerald eyes.
As if sensing Zephyr's growing desire, Lila's movements become even more fluid and sensual, her hands gliding over the human's back, feeling the muscles beneath the fabric. The elf's own eyes darken with a newfound appreciation for her partner, and she presses closer, her breath warm against Zephyr's ear. Perhaps we should retire to a more private setting, love. Her words are a seductive purr, sending shivers down Zephyr's spine. The music and laughter of the celebration seem to fade into the background as the druid's focus narrows to the object of her affection. The night is young, and so are we. Let's explore each other's passions, shall we? She bites her lip, her voice barely above a whisper. I long to discover the depths of your desire.
I would say it has been a long time since I have seen such passion in my encampment, says an older Vistani woman.
Lila's cheeks flush a deep red at the comment, and she looks up at Madame Eva with a playful, almost mischievous glint in her eyes. Passion, you say, Madame Eva? She leans in closer to Zephyr, her voice taking on a conspiratorial tone. Perhaps it's the dark magic that stirred something primal within us, or maybe... She trails off, biting her lower lip suggestively before winking at the fortune teller.
I was young once, too, she says as she laughs at Lila. I'm Madame Eva. Grigori told me that you wish to speak about something affecting your land.
Ah, yes, Madame Eva. You are most perceptive. Lila's expression turns serious, and she guides Zephyr to sit at the fortune teller's side, with the camp's warmth and the distant firelight casting an enchanting glow over their features. Dragonfire Vale is afflicted by a strange dark energy. The land seems to be dying, and with it, our connection to nature's rhythms. We seek any knowledge you may have regarding the cause, and more importantly, a potential cure. She reaches out to grasp Madame Eva's hand, her emerald eyes pleading. Your insight could be the key to restoring balance to our world. Please, share whatever you've divined. We'll do whatever it takes to save our homeland.
Come with me, dear. I will show you what I can, she says as she walks towards a carriage.
Lila follows Madame Eva, gesturing for Zephyr to accompany them. She takes a deep breath, trying to calm her racing heart as they enter the carriage. I sense a great wisdom in you, Madame Eva. Your guidance could be the turning point in this crisis. Once inside, the druid takes a seat, her hand finding Zephyr's and intertwining their fingers in a reassuring squeeze. Whatever revelations you share, we'll face them together. Her gaze meets Zephyr's, and a flicker of determination and love passes between them. For Dragonfire Vale's sake, and for our own, let us hope that your divinations hold the power to heal our lands and our hearts.
Madame Eva sits behind her table and gets out an old tarot deck. Our meeting is from one of the fates, she says. We Vastani don't worship any gods. Too many dark powers wish to be worshipped.
To be continued.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.